Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everybody. I want to welcome you all to another episode of the Real Talk with Chris Richardson show, and this is going to be the final show for the year of 2016. That's right. We're going to put this thing in park, and I've got a hot date next Thursday with the bride to be, and so I want to celebrate this time and special significant occasion. That's right, I'm getting married. So that being said, I want to make sure that my bride and I can enjoy the remainder of the year without any interruption, and that I can give her my undivided attention as well on Monday. So we'll be back after the beginning of the year. However, having said that, I want to welcome everybody to another segment, and this show we want to talk about something like this was a hot topic in the class that I did this past week. But just for formality, let me just go ahead and lay out some ground rules. I think this one's going to be percolating. It's real simple. This is a Man Talk segment. I want to welcome all the ladies who are joining or who might be listening in. This is a Man Talk segment. So for the brothers, I need you to mic up tonight. Man Talk's all about helping men get in the game and stay in the game. That's right. Helping you live better, love deeper, and laugh more, and so that you can have real agape love and experience the unadulterated love of Jesus Christ. So it helps men both on the field and off the field so that we can be better men. So tonight's topic is, it's spicy because we want to talk about, do men place a double standard on respect? Think about that. Do men place a double standard on respect? And so the voice that you just heard, I'm joined by my brother from another mother, as we refer to it, as my darker-skinned Jamaican brother. I'm the light-skinned Jamaican brother, Brother Edward Scissorhands. That's how we do. Hey, go ahead and say hello to the family. Let them know, you know, how we do it in Jamaica.
Hey, Sam, what's going on, man? This is Edward James Smith III. I'm Chris's bigger brother. I'm the darker one out of the family. But hey, man, we are so delighted to be together tonight to be on this men's segment to talk about just to unpack some stuff on the segment tonight and see if we have a double standard in respect and I'm sure it's probably not going to stay in just respect, but you know, expand into other genre of relationship, man. We look forward in unpacking this thing and so that we can be better men.
Hey, bruh, so here's the deal. I've been teaching a class for the past 6 weeks, and the final class was this past Sunday. This came up in the communications class last week. And I'm not going to mention any names or anything. It's not a smear on anything, but I think it's necessary for us because I think there are times that we as men, we want something, but we aren't willing to give something. In fact, we want a whole lot of something, but we don't give it in return. In fact, we don't even model it sometimes. The model that we use is often skewed, broken, or distorted from the lens that we see it from. Let's just be real. I'm just going to be keeping 100. As a man, you know, this whole thing called respect is one of those things that's near and dear. It talks about it in the Bible. We always know it and see it in Ephesians 5:25. That's for those who have Bibles. And those who don't, you can look that up. It says, you know, it talks about respect for the man. And then the fellows, you ought to love her like Christ loved the church. So we know that. But why is respect so important to us, Ed?
Man, I think that, you know, respect is something that speaks to the core of man. And whenever you don't, you're not respecting us, then we feel as though we really have nothing left. You know, it probably one has nothing to do with the same, but, you know, it's like going around saying that. You remember the saying that used to say, your word is your bond, Chris? And so when you no longer have your word, when your word no longer become your bond, then what else do you have? You know, because you have nothing to stand on. Well, I think it's kind of the same way with respect for men, you know, when we lose respect, then, you know, we have nothing to stand on because respect, you know, for some reason became the foundation of our core.
Yeah, well, and since we talk about respect, let's go ahead and kind of define that. I'm always one that says what you don't define will ultimately define you. You got to know your why so that your what doesn't take you. I'll say that again. You don't know your why, your what's going to take you out. So I think we need to know why we do what we do. And so in order to understand this whole topic on the double standard of respect, I think we got to break down the definition of respect. Would you agree, Ed?
Yes, sir.
So let's go ahead and do that. And I'm just going to give you a little dictionary definition that we're going to work with here, and we can agree to disagree on that. The feeling of deep admiration for someone or something elicited by their abilities, qualities, or achievement. So this is the noun version of respect. It's a feeling of deep admiration for someone or something. And then the verb side of it is to admire someone or something. So that deeply as a result of their abilities, qualities. So it's both a noun and a verb. And so I think that, you know, for guys, this is a scenario. We were in the class and we were talking, and the scenario came up about active listening and the communication. And when we talk about active listening, that's an area that we all can work on. We could agree to disagree on that one for sure, but we just want to agree on this one and say that's something that's a work in progress for many. Because I beg to differ that every time someone talks to me, it's not that I'm not multitasking or I stop what I'm doing, especially if they can't see me. You know, if I'm on a conference call or something like that, you best believe I'm more likely going to be multitasking. And it depends on the subject, so let's just keep it 100. Now, it's different when somebody's in front of you. So what was said was that, you know, when a particular person's spouse was talking to him, you know, they like, hey, he's saying, land the plane, ladies. Bring the plane there for landing because I hear what you're saying, but you're saying a whole lot of nothing. And at the end of the day, just give me the bullet points. I don't need all the gory details. Spare me the story. You know what I'm saying? I don't need you to go granular on me. Brother just saying, look, bring your plane in for a landing. Land your plane. Give me the bullets and let's keep it moving. Well, on the other side of it, though, he's multitasking. So, you know, he's doing multiple things. He may be playing with his cell phone. He may be not looking at her, okay, not looking at her at all, giving his eye attention or his undivided attention. And so ultimately she's going to interpret that a certain way because that's body language, that's dismissive, that's rude, it's impolite, it's disrespectful. And so my question that I raised, Ed, for the fellows that were in the class was asked this. Would you accept that same behavior if it was from your son? And the answer was no. You wouldn't. Uh-huh. So the answer was no. Let's just be clear. It was unanimous. Nah, that's different. But why is it different? See, this is where here we go with a double standard. We try to justify based on a relationship. And I'm saying I thought respect was respect based on the definition that we use, based on higher esteem for someone or something. And so are you telling me that I respect my I want my son to respect me more than I'm willing to respect my wife? What? Wow. So I was just kind of taken aback, and I just said, hey, look, guys, we can't have these kind of double standards and find ourselves in leadership and be in headship. It just doesn't make sense. At some point, we got to stop saying, well, I want this, but this is what I'm going to give in return. And so if you – listen, here's the thing. You get what you put out. You reap what you sow. So if you're modeling disrespect, if you're modeling dismissiveness, all of that's going to come back to you. So, ladies, I know if you're listening, you're going to like this. This is my question to the brothers. Let's put it out there. If it's late at night and you just want you a little bit of cookie, do you want her multitasking while you try to do what you got to do, or do you want her undivided attention? So, brothers unanimously said, nah, well, that's different. Well, why is it different? It's the same. I'm just saying, she's multitasking, you're multitasking. A brother said to me the other day, he said, first of all, if she's multitasking while you're doing that, you ain't putting it down. I won't, you know, to each his own, whoever's ego that might feed. But nonetheless, why is it a double standard for men? What do you think, Ed?
Yeah. Excuse me. Brother, you know, listening to you talking, and it's kind of the same thing, you know, being married, and you have to keep reminding your wife that you are the man of the house. If you have to keep reminding your wife or your family that you're the man of the house, then you have just lost your manship, if there's such a word. You follow what I'm saying? It's the same thing with respect. You know, if I if I have to keep demanding respect from you, then, you know, the person of whom I'm demanding it from, you know, sees me as I'm not worthy of getting respect. You know, so respect is something, like as you clearly stated earlier on, Chris, is something that should be modeled. It's something that you have to give, I have to give first. You know, if I don't, you know, and everything is relational, right? I can't have a relationship by myself, neither can you. It takes two or more people to have a relationship, which means that of which I'm expecting out of the relationship, I first need to model that in my behavior in the relationship. And so it, you know, oftentimes it become a reciprocal thing. But if I'm not doing what I expect you to do, but I'm demanding it from you, then Houston, we got a problem, brother. And that's very selfish.
It's selfish. Absolutely. I agree with that. We got some callers that are lighting up the line, so I'm going to take them in the order that they came in on. First caller is from 646-667. 646-667, you're with the Real Talk with Chris Ripson Show. What's your thought? What are your comments? Oh, by the way, before I let you respond, there's some housekeeping rules, and I failed to mention that. We can always agree to disagree. We can challenge the message, but we never attack the messenger. So having said that, you have the floor, my friend. 646-667, you have the floor. All right, so 646, you're mic'd, or you're muted in your mic. So if you want to talk, you press 1 already. You just got to unmute. I've taken you off of mute, so I'm going to mute you back out. Now, we got 301-782. You're live, and I know that's Darren. So, Darren, welcome to the show. It's been a minute, my brother. How you doing?
What's going on, brother? How y'all doing? How you doing, Ed?
Hey, man.
Hey, God bless, brother.
What's up?
Good to hear you, man.
Good, man. Yeah, you know we've been busy, y'all. Yeah, we talked about this just the other night, man. My wife and I, when we talked to couples and counsel them, this comes up, this lands a lot because the husband is fed up, but the wife can't seem to submit or give respect to the husband that he deserves because, i.e., he don't have a job, or, you know, he doesn't spend as much time with her, or he has her doing all the chores and paying all the bills. So then when it's a lack of, then she kind of, the frustration is mistaken as disrespect. And I'm like, well, now if a man is not in position, then anything you say from anything that comes from his wife is going to seem to be disrespectful. Anything
True.
You say from his wife. So
True.
I'm like, well, bro, before you even speak on anything, you have to be in the position and speak from a position of authority. Well, you ain't, like Eric said earlier, I don't have to say to my wife, I'm the man of this house. I don't have to remind her of that. I got to remind her sometime that, hey, you need to watch your mouth as I watch mine, you know. But I would never need to remind her what my position is. And, you know, and like Ed said, if I have to remind her, then I've lost it. I've lost my position, or I lost it in her sight. And whatever I need to do, if it took me 2 years to lose her respect, it's going to take me 4 years to get it back. And if and I tell my man, you know, when they come over, man, look, you can't talk to your wife a certain way. You can't tell your wife any advice if she's paying all the bills. It's nothing that you can tell her if she is paying all the bills. If she's got to constantly tell you, go find a job, because everything that come out of your mouth is, baby, I'm hungry. Well, if you get a job, then maybe I can put some food on. I mean, maybe I can feel comfortable in cooking. If I ain't have to work 55 hours a day and then come cook for you, you know, or, baby, I want some sex. Well, if you had a job, then maybe you would be as tight as I am. Everything is that lack that he has in his life that makes him disrespected once she mentions it. So,
let me offer this. Let me offer this. You bring up some great points, and you guys can piggyback off of this. And this is go back for the ladies, because they're saying things that are actually that come up quite a bit in relationships. And I think one of these things that we talk about with respect, the Bible's not asking for conditional respect. Conversely, it's not saying for men to give conditional love. It just simply says in Ephesians, respect regardless of what he has a job or not. Now, let me be frank with that. The man's purpose from the time of the garden was to work. So, you know, everybody's household is different, but he should be, you should, brother, you should be fulfilling your kingdom purpose. So that's what you're assigned to do. So I'm saying to the ladies that are listening, in that, that does not give you a pass to give him conditional respect at all. That's a conversation that you all have to have, and that's something that you have to vet through. But you cannot use sex as a tool against him. I said that this past weekend there to the class that I was teaching in that area of respect, because when you use that tool, it will come back as a boomerang to be used against you. And so we don't want to open up those doors like that. So I'm going to say it this way. If you find yourself in a situation like that, or fellas, you find yourself not able to love her and you're loving her with conditions, then it's time that maybe it's time for you to do a check-in and get some counseling.
And well, Chris, I don't think it's really conditional. I think that when I've given you an example. When I had temporarily, when my contract was over and I was out of work for a month until Clarence is transferred over, et cetera, when my car was parked outside during the middle of the day, even though I've never spoken to any of my neighbors, I was ashamed to go out to check the mailbox in my pajamas because I was afraid that somebody would glance over at me and see me, that man doesn't have a job. I got dressed to go to the mailbox. I mean, as I was coming from work, because I did not want my neighbors to think. Now, even though they ain't thinking about me, sometimes there's been times when I walked out to my mailbox during that time where not a car passed me, but I had on a shirt and tie, trying to fake like I was at work all day. And I wouldn't go out before 4 o'clock to check the mail. So it's not, and I said all that to say, the perception of frustration, it could seem to be disrespectful to a man that's not in position. So it's not a conditional disrespect. It's just a dysfunction in his own man. If he's a man that he knows he's supposed to be working and he feel awkward when his wife is bringing home the bacon and cooking it, and then on top of that he wants some sex on top of that, he going to feel he don't even deserve to have sex. He don't deserve to eat. He don't deserve to do anything because everything that comes with, he's afraid, it even frightens him to even ask for or act like he needs something. Because if he does from his wife, he's afraid to hear the words, even though she might not even say it. He's afraid to hear the words, dude, get you a job first, and then we'll talk about that. He's afraid to hear it just because he's unemployed, if that was the case. So that's not disrespect. Sometimes you find your own demons.
I completely agree with that. What I'm saying is that in the terms of for the ladies that are listening, to be clearly defined that you don't put conditions on your respect, that if he doesn't have a job or if he doesn't do that,
right,
I'm only going to respect him if he does. That's clearly what
right.
I'm saying, just like the man who has to love her unconditionally regardless of whether how he feels. So you don't diminish a person based on their circumstances, situation. You see what I'm saying? And so when you say I do, when you're talking husband and wife, and you say I do, whether you exchange the words better for worse or not, you got to work through it. And you're going to go through some stuff. And so,
But let me ask you this. Do you think that that's on purpose or that's out of frustration? Which one? And if
that's
it's
out of shame. What you just gave an example for, though, that was shame. That was shame. Shame is how I feel about me. Guilt is what I did. Shame is how all what you just said, that was a topic on shame. Because you just said, I felt like I wasn't basically worthy of, so therefore I put my veneers on and went outside and dressed it up so no one would really know what was going on. I say this all the time to folks. Just because you have veneers on don't mean people can't see them. So what you cover up, your skeleton's always talking anyway.
Okay, that's a good
So
point.
I agree with you. That. Yes.
Can I take this to the Bible just for a second? I don't know if it's I ain't say this Bible study, but can I give you an example from a biblical perspective?
Go ahead, brother.
Okay. When David was Saul's that was his man, right? And mm-hmm. and he fought Goliath for Saul. Every time Saul got sick, he played the satyr. Every time Saul did something, or every time Saul asked him to do something, he went out there and killed a whole army for Saul, right? But then one day, David was dedicated to Saul to the death. But one day, Saul heard a song from a bunch of great-looking women, and in the song, it had a verse in there that said, Saul killed men by the thousands, David by the tens of thousands.
Mm-hmm.
When he heard that, David didn't have anything to do with what he heard. David was out there probably fighting some more battles and killing some more people, representing Saul. But Saul, first he envied David, and then he grew to hate him. Now, that lets you know what kind of power of in words from men of a perspective from another person. When a man hears something, or when a man think a certain way about himself, he start killing his own self inside and making up all kind of stuff about himself of how other people are looking at him. Give you the example that I took to the mailbox. I'm looking at how people are looking at me. If I don't have a job, I'm looking at how my wife seeing me. Do she feel about me how I feel about myself? And then you accept it to be true, and then you start reacting. So anything your wife say, baby, do you want something to eat? What you mean, do I want something to eat? You think I can't get myself something to eat? What you trying to say? So he gets offended, and it's no offense to brought to the table, and then he will call it disrespect. You understand what I'm saying? So it doesn't matter what his wife say, he's going to perceive it as disrespect because he's out of place.
Anytime a man is out of go ahead, and let me make this one point, and then I'm going to let you come back in. Anytime a man, or for that part, a woman's vertical relationship, in other words, if they place more priority in posture on a position versus who they are in the kingdom of God, how God sees them,
okay.
They're always going to
mm-hmm.
be challenged in their horizontal relationships, always. They're mm-hmm. always going to have issue with it. And that's why we have to be working from the inside out. We don't love a person from the outside. That's demonstrated from the outside. But the outside demonstration comes from the inside, how I feel about myself and my heart. You treat other people mm-hmm. based on how you feel about yourself. If you have a
that's good on paper, that's
that
good.
Across.
I mean,
absolutely.
That sounds
I
real good on paper.
If you have a low
self-esteem,
if you have a low self-esteem, then you treat people, you're not sure, you're not certain about yourself. That comes across because you're not confident. And I would agree with you. A man's, what you're essentially saying is that a man's pride is so big, but his ego is much bigger. And so
mm-hmm.
if his ego is broken because he's bruised, broken, and confused right now because he's out of work, then yes, he is out of alignment in a sense because he's not operating in his kingdom purpose. He is supposed
mm-hmm.
to be working, right? And mm-hmm. so if a man is not working, then I'm not saying, ladies, you go and browbeat him and beat him down. No, take your mouth off of him and put your knees on him. That means you need to have a knee ministry, and I'm talking about prayer. You got to learn
mm-hmm.
how to pray with him. But more, I talked about this for a couple. You got to learn how to build him up more than discourage him and tear him down. How much?
Mm-hmm.
I posted something last week. I asked a question, when was the last time you said something good to your spouse? The question
mm-hmm.
is really rhetorical. If you've got to think about it, that's a problem. When was the last time you said something good that they can recall? Because most of the times all we're doing is dumping on each other anyway. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think it's, I hear absolutely what you're saying. I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying in the framework of it, all those things are packaged in to a hemorrhaging heart in a bad situation for a rainy day. And it don't take much. You're right. You can say this, and he's going to be like, oh, that's disrespect. Absolutely. Because at the end of the day, for us, that is the language of love for us, respect. You know,
mm-hmm.
and you wanted to make a point.
Yes, sir. The Bible speaks of the man that does not provide for his family is worse than an infidel.
Yes.
However, it does not change your position that God gives to you as a man in the family. Now,
mm-hmm.
When God created family Adam and Eve. Well, as we know, and I don't want to get into this long story, but God created Adam first, and Adam had everything in place before Eve came along. And then when Eve came along as for a purpose, and the purpose was to help Adam. So she became his helpmate. However, in today's world, today's society, excuse me, things happened where, you know, both male and female must be after work, you know, for economy, etc., all that stuff. However, in the event that the man is not working, there's a difference between a man that does not want to work and a man that is not working, but is pursuing work. You with me? And so the man that is pursuing work, however, have not found anything in a year, 2 years, and all that stuff. Listen to me. Your wife sees that. It's just as we talk about wife submitting to husband and all that stuff. You will have no problem with a wife submitting to her husband when that wife sees that her husband is being submitted to God. And so I made that point for simply because it is the same way that your wife will see that it's not that you do not want to work, you're just not working, but you're pursuing work. And so that should not interfere with the respect aspect of it, because your position inside the house still remains the same. For the who brings home the most finance in the house does not determine the title or the position of the person inside the house. Is the position that God gave you determine the position inside the house? And so I just wanted to make that abundantly clear so that we understand the difference between a man that is not working but is pursuing work versus the man that is not working and have no interest in working because his wife bringing home $200,000 a year.
Yeah.
Going back to the topic, though, is why is respect a double standard for men?
It become double standard of which is not fair, and it should not be, because it's just like, you know, I have something that I call core values that I try to live by, Chris. You know, God knows so many times I mess up, you know, but I still hold myself to those core values, and it is integrity, respect, and commitment. And so in order for me to have those three core values, that's what I call them, you know, I must hold myself to a standard, you know, and if I am going to expect or demand respect from my wife or just anybody in at all, I need to be able to respect, because if I am not given respect, then I should not expect to receive that of which I'm not given. And these are the reasons why we struggle every day with the word respect and other word, because you know, as they said, a best sermon is the one lived and not one preached, you know, and so people will see that. Why are you demanding this from me when you're not? You know, and so it become double standard simply because we are living a double life. Bottom line.
You get the organ on that one, or the round of applause. We can give you a round of applause on that one.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, yes, sir. That's it right there. I mean, we do that, and that's what I was just trying to say in the class. You know, when it's all said and done, you know, what's the model that you're putting out there? And it is not always easy. Like Ed said, I don't always walk left, talk right, or walk right and talk right. But I need grace, you know, and that's what it comes down to in a situation. And so for the ladies listening, guys need grace, a lot of grace. Because, yeah, he may have that tough exterior, But on the inside, there's a heartbeat there. And as tough as he may be, there's really a heartbeat. So he's looking for a thing called compassion, compassion with understanding. So it's going to require on your level some wisdom. And then once you get the wisdom, you got to have some discernment to go in to know, is this the right time, the right approach for the right situation? You know, we can say and do a lot. And I just want to unpack that. Now, check this out. Here's something that women get judged for that we set a double standard for when it comes to them. And it's some simple things, some basic things. So for men, it's a double standard because if we have multiple sex partners, it's not a thing. You know, and I'm talking to the single fellas who live in that life right there. It's okay. Okay, I got a buddy of mine. This joker could do whatever he wanted to, whenever he wanted to do it, with whoever he wanted to do it with, right? But the moment the one that he was with did something, then he had a conniption. He lost his mind. Why? It's okay for you to do your dirt and bring home whatever you will bring home, but yet if she does a little tip dance, you got an issue with that? Again, you reap what you sow. You know what I'm saying? So karma is something else that comes back around, and it's one of those things that's like a boomerang. It's eventually going to catch up with you, you know? The other thing is we got when it comes to keeping a house. Guys can have a messy home, but yet we'll put a standard that we expect a woman to be able to keep a clean home. But yet our home can be filthy. That's crazy. So it's like we're good at being, I guess, we're being good at being judgmental, and we're also good at being hypocrites sometimes. Not everybody, but some. If the shoe fits, wear it. If not, just, you know, just you must have quit, you know, on that. No. What else? Let's see.
Standard.
Go ahead. Somebody want to jump in there?
No, I was just saying, I don't believe it's a double standard. I believe it's it's a position thing. If you pull up to my house and you see my yard growing weeds or growing just like wildflowers, dandelions, and all kind of other crap is in the yard, the first impression is, dang, man, D need to cut his yard. Darren need to come out here and cut his grass. But then when you come inside the home and the house is messy, you're going to be like, dang, man, D wife need to get on this house. You know? So mm-hmm. It's not a double standard. It's just an expectation of roles. The role that I expect for the men, if I come in the house, like when I went to my mom's house, I know my mom was on this show before, right? So when I went in her house and her trash was not in, and she had a man in her bedroom, the first thing I say is, you know, why did, you know, she asking me, I just drove 12 hours and you asking me to empty your trash when that dude is sitting back there for I don't know how long and you didn't ask him nothing. Why haven't that man emptied that trash yet? You know, so it's like your role is to do certain things. You know, if I see a woman cutting her grass, I will see a man drive by and ask her, hey, babe, you need me to take care of that for you? Because that's a known role as a man. So I don't believe it's a double standard. I believe it's just
It only becomes a double standard, D, when it comes to being single man versus a single woman. In a relationship that's a heterosexual healthy relationship or, you know, marriage, you're talking now this is a role. But if you're single and you're dating your wife-to-be, your house is dirty, but yet the expectation is hers is clean. That's a double standard. So, yes, you're right. If it's in a role scenario with spouse, it's role. If it's dating or, you know, single versus the other, that's a double standard.
Well, it's also about supplying demand as well. You know, if it's 1,000 women to one man, he can keep his house as dirty as he wants to. but he has certain requirements from women to, hey, you got to learn how to cook, even though he don't. You got to know how to clean, even though he doesn't. You got to know how to, you know, you got to stay in shape, even though he's not. You know, so if the stacks are piled on the side, then, you know, hey, he can do whatever he want to do. Now, if the women, on the other hand, if it was a shortage of women and a whole bunch of men, then guess what? You know, he better have a decent job. He better be good looking. And he better know how to dress. And now all the men are trying to dress up to that expectation because they're trying to get chose. So, but right now, in this society, is way more women, black women, and a shortage of black men. I hate to bring color in this, but and race in this, but that's just the truth. And you know, and if I go out to a Starbucks and I have on my Egyptian cotton shirt and silk tie and zinnia suit, I'm going to get some looks because that's not really the look of a brother, you know, in a Starbucks or a Walmart or anything. I'm going to get some looks. And they don't, they're not looking at the ring on my finger. You know what I'm saying? Now, if a woman come inside of the store and she got on a nice dress, it's 1,000 women in there with a nice dress. But guess which one's going to stand out? The one with the short nice dress. Maybe. I'm just you know, putting it in perspective of singles. You see what I'm saying? And that's just the truth of the matter. You know, a man can get away with cheating on his wife probably nowadays, or let's say a single man can get away with having two or three girlfriends, but a single woman can't get away with the same thing. You know, and that's just it's not right, but those are facts. You understand?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, we're going to take some calls now. 646-7... Let me give the number out. 619. I'm getting ready to give out another number. 619-924-0869. You want to share a comment or post a question? I see, Bill, that you're out there. Just press 1 on your phone, and I'll dial you and let you in. So 619-924-0869. You want in? Let's jump in. Get in where you fit in. What are your thoughts? What are your comments? All right, I see you at 516. I'm coming to you. 516-852. You're live on the Real Talk Bruce Richardson Show.
Good evening. Can you hear me, Chris?
We can hear you, Bill.
Can you hear me? Okay. Good afternoon.
Mike, check. You're good.
Go back to, I think, the original concept about respect. I believe that's at the intersection of value and beliefs. I believe that...
Go ahead. Preach. Teach.
I believe that, you know, there's a book out called Execution, which says... The leader is the behavior that he exhibits as well as tolerates. Now, I give respect, therefore I demand it. But I think we had a little gray area yesterday because I don't treat my son with the same respect as I do my wife because they got different roles. Though I give him respect, it's such a different respect from my wife. Now, yes, I am the one that's guilty, but I can multitask. I can read the paper, watch sports, and still listen to her. Now, since we've talked about it, I definitely try to give her more eye contact. But there's no dissemination that my son, he gets a level of respect, but not the same as my wife. Now, I heard some of the other brothers saying, which I was really excited about, the part about if you are the man of your house, working should not have anything to do with you being the man. You are a man all the way through. So if the job defines you, then you really got a bigger problem. Because I provided for my family, and my wife doesn't work, hasn't worked for 10 years. But if I decide not to work, my expectation is that everything that I'm getting now, I will get if I'm not working. Because somehow society has perpetuated this lie that says a happy wife makes a happy life. No, a happy man and wife makes a happy life. I try to give 100%, and I can't bank on her 50 and me giving 50 because... At that math equation, both of us fail. We always got to be given 100% because sometimes I don't give 100% where she can pick up the slack, and most times than not, when she's not given 100%, I can try to compensate for her. But it becomes as a team, and I think as long as we keep it as a team, we can go further. But the initial part about respect, my son doesn't get that same respect that my wife gets because they're two different people.
I'll so here's a question for you. And that's a great throwback. I'll throw a question back at you. If it were your daughter, if you had a daughter in a sense, would you give her the same treatment?
Well, you know, I probably would, Chris. But here's the difference. I've noticed that the wives are harder on daughters and the guys are harder on boys. So, yeah, you know, do you get that little daddy's little girl? Yes. She probably is more manipulative or her manipulation is a lot more tolerated than it is with a guy because I've been there. See, that one thing, I haven't figured out that a whole estrogen piece, but that testosterone piece, I'm pretty good at that.
Fair enough, fair enough. Well, hang in there, Bill. We're not going to let you go just yet. We're still talking about double standards. I want to hear from more of the fellows that are out there. 619-924-0869. You know, we went through a couple of things. We had Darren on a few minutes ago who was sharing with us. We talked about some of the things that are double standards that women aren't judged the same way that, or men aren't judged the same way that women are. And so one of those is, like, if you have children, you know, if you're, let's say you're single. Let's put this perspective, not married. But a double standard is if you're single, it's, you know, as a man, that's the norm. But if she's a, if it's a female, it's a double standard. You know, she can only have X. I can only tolerate, you know, to Bill's point about the book, but mentioning the word tolerate, I can only tolerate X. But then again, it's all, I think one of the things is, you know, we make up the rules as we go along. And sometimes that's fine, but sometimes the rules are just flat out blatantly blurred. We're blurred lines. You know, if there's a, I love to use this analogy, Bill, and I need you back. Come on back in with me, bro. I love to use this analogy that, okay, appreciate you, man. I love to use the analogy that if you're driving down the road and the lane that you're in, you can't see the lane in itself. You know, it's hard to see what you can't see, you know, unless it's in front of you. So a lot of times what we do is we cross over the lane because we can't see or we haven't defined that which is. All I'm really simply saying is that if you don't define it, it's ultimately going to define you. And if you're blurred, that you know, if you're driving at nighttime, sometimes your vision can be impaired. Or as you look in the side mirror, Bill, it says that objects in the mirror may appear closer than they really are. And that's how sometimes we as men see things, man. We be driving down the road all over because that's what we want to do. You know what I mean? We don't want to share the road. We don't want to make room. We want to say, oh, no, this is my lane, so this is what I'm going to do, even though that the lanes are sometimes clearly defined. I'm simply just saying that if it's a female that are listening, fellas that are single, whatever, if you don't define your rules will ultimately define you, and you'll make it up as you go. Then you'll start to get in your head and get frustrated by a lot of the frustration. Bill heard me say the other day in the class that, yes, you do constantly redefine the rules. It's like this. When you feel as though that you're getting frustrated oftentimes in your relationship, you got to question yourself, what's the need and what's the expectation and where am I going wrong? Am I communicating my expectation as if it, you know, or am I communicating my need or both? And so I shared in the class that a frustration comes from a lot of unmet expectations. The root of unmet expectation comes from three sources, one of three. It's either unspoken, it's unclear, or it's unrealistic or unreasonable, as you may say. So it's one. If I'm being unreasonable, then that means that the other person that's dealing with me is probably going to be frustrated. All right, number one. If it's unspoken, we gave an example the other day in the class. I think Bill Pete said it. You know, then you know. Oh, come on now. You should know. That's dangerous. You should know. And then we used the last example was that it's unclear. Not clear what you're really trying to say because you're conveying an expectation without sharing the need. You got to share the need before you go with an expectation. So, what are your thoughts and comments? I want to hear from you guys.
Yeah, hey, Chris. Mm-hmm. I'll go back. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're responding as though you can't hear me, really. I'll go back to one of my favorite quote, brother. You know it, man. Rules and regulations without relationship leads to rebellion. And so now how does that fit into what we're talking about? It's the same way, man. If I'm expecting something from you and I'm not giving that of which I'm expecting from you, and we said it before, Chris, you know, then I should not be expecting anything from you. And when it comes on to respect, brother, respect does not have layers. You know, well, it should not have layers, you know, respect should not change its dynamics, or it should not have a paradigm shift, because now we're dealing with respect as it relates to men versus respect as it relates to women. Respect is respect, and it is something that needs to be given regardless of your gender. It is respect, and respect is something that involves two or more people, just like relationship involves two or more people. And in order for you to have a relationship, it must involve two or more people, regardless of the gender. And it's the same thing. We can't have different shade of respect because now we're dealing with female versus a male. You know, the respect. Honestly, the dynamics of the respect may change a little bit when I'm dealing with my children versus my wife, because my wife, according to the Bible, you know, you have to hold your wife in a standard, you know, that you don't necessarily hold your children. And I know I may get a lot of flack for this, but it is just the order. It is definitely just the order. Nevertheless, brother, you know, respect is respect regardless of who. Sometimes you find yourself, because I have done it numerous times, you know, in sometimes as parents, I grew up in Jamaica, as you know, Chris, that's where we're from, right? And so in Jamaica, I grew up in an era where children must be seen and not heard, which means that you do not have a voice. And so, you know, now that I'm an adult, you know, I still come across sometimes to my children with that same type of mentality, you know, but I later on realize that, Ed, that's not going to work. And later on I have to go back to my child, or children for that matter, and I have to apologize for the way that I behave, for the way that I said something. And the reason why that is important to me, Chris, because if I don't apologize and you know, that of which I'm demanding from my child, I may never get it later. Because now my children see daddy as an autocratic type of a person, and how can you respect somebody who is a dictator? You know, it does not necessarily work that way. And not only that, but subliminally, that of which I want my child to be when that child become an adult, I have to be now teaching that child. So I have to be diligent in my teaching. And as a parent, it's my job to go back to that child and say, you know what? The way that I handled this situation was not the correct way. I apologize. Now let's move forward. Let's reroute. And so you can, after you start doing that, your children start to respect you more and more and more, because now they no longer see you as a dictator, but they see you as a person who erred and is willing to say, I'm sorry, and start all over again.
Wow, that's good. That's good. That's being. I heard a lot in that. You know, that's humility in itself. That's being selfless in that example that you just gave on there, and just, you know, being the bigger person to say, you know, I'm going to model what a godly example is. Not just some of the times, but all the times. And so sometimes you make mistakes, you go back and fess up and say, hey, look, I made a mistake, and here's the deal. So I think that's great, and you're right. Your kids will follow the example that you set, either what they saw. Bill likes to say, you know, the difference between being taught and what you caught, you know, all the time. That's good, you know. So this is the thing, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight's really just about that conversation, you know. Guys, we're agreeing here on the show. We do set double standards. We do. I don't agree with it. I'm guilty of it at times. Because we play it to what works good and what works best for us at the times we do it, you know. Is it right? No, clearly it's not right. And so what I'm trying to say to the guys is that, you know, at the end of the day, you got to own your stuff. We got to, quote, unquote, fess up, and then we got to learn how to man up. Man up is doing what Ed just said in the example right there. It's not about being the bravado male or the alpha male. It is really simply saying, hey, if I'm going to be the model of Christ, and in my class I use the example of Philippians 2, verses 3 through 8 in that particular thing, and it's really saying, hey, we have to be like-minded to Christ. That means we have to be able to think about other people more so and esteem them over ourselves in any instance, you know. And that, if we're really going to take, deny, take, and follow, you know, if we go to Luke or we find that in Mark, if we're truly going to deny, take, and follow, then we really have to be willing to be the example of what that looks like, the model for that. And we can't do it. because we're learning how to be kingdom men. You know, I remember sharing a story before, Ed, you've heard me share it. I went to a thing probably like 3 years ago with a workshop. Never forget it. The pastor had his Lego pieces, and he was sharing, hey, put together an example. I'm going to give you guys these Lego pieces. They're equally amount, the same amount in everybody's set. I want you to build what you think manhood is. And he never gave us an example of what it should look like. He just said, build something. And so that's what we do in life. Men, we just build something, or what we really are doing is tearing it down. We're good at going in and taking our broken pieces and just putting it anywhere where it will fit at the proper time. But that's not necessarily what God is asking us to do. God is saying, look, hey, we are called to be to be fathers, to be husbands, to be leaders, to be heads. And in order to do that, we must follow his image and his model that he set before us. Well, we know as he was fully man and fully God, so he was divine in nature. You know, and so by doing what he did, he bared the price. He took on, he gave his life not only for me but for you on Calvary's cross. He shed his blood. And then on the cross, Father, forgive them for they know not what they've done. I don't know if I could do what he did. In fact, I know I couldn't. I know I couldn't. But in the good words of our other brother who's not on the call tonight, we must die unto self, not die until self. So we've got to, until we did this show last week, we talked about until and unto. We got to die unto. That means we constantly are dying, you know, constantly are dying of self. And we got to dig our grave every day that we do it and find ourselves as men willing to position ourselves and to say, you know what, yep, even though you know it's not right. All I'm saying is don't live a double life, don't live a double standard, and live your story, not the one you want to regret. So if you want to turn the page, turn the page. But don't live the past, because the past is not the place you want to stay. It may be a reference point, but here's the thing. Ed says you got it's time. Sometimes it's time for a legal divorce. Well, what do you mean by that? What we're saying is that you got to divorce yourself from the pain of your past so that you can live to see and experience the promise of your future. And a lot of times we are still in a situation where we give a double standard because we're married to the pain of our past, but we're trapped by the images in our head. That it's okay to think that way. It's acceptable in society. It's not acceptable. It's not. Not if you're going to be a kingdom man. A kingdom man is called out of darkness. A kingdom man is not living a double life. A kingdom man is setting his body aside as a living sacrifice, holy unto God. Kingdom men do. I'm just trying to figure out if I got any kingdom men who are joining me tonight. Anyway, 619-924-0869. We're about to bring this plane in for a landing. If you've got any comments, questions that you want to share for the show, by all means, feel free to join us. 619-924-0869. Just press 1 on your keypad, and I'll bring you in. And you also can join us on our Facebook group. That's the Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. So if you're online, it's the Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. Again, guys, I am on countdowns. My bride and I, we are, 10 days away now? 10 days away from the big I do. So real excited about that, looking forward to it. This journey has been, it's been a wonderful journey, honestly. We've had some ups and some downs. I'll tell you, some good times, some bad times. But now I see that the best is still yet to come. You know, you can have what you say, life or death. It just depends on what's coming out your mouth. You know, what's coming out your mouth and what you really believe. What do you believe? So are your standards skewed based on your limited vision? Are you looking at it from a natural sense, or are you looking at it from a godly perspective? If you see her through the lens of God, then the standard becomes God's standard, not your rules. Not your rules. It becomes God's standard. Can you provide a standard that is one that shows forgiveness, that shows love, that shows humility, that shows honor, that also shows respect and renders respect in return? Can you do that? Because we know we can ask for that, but can we model that? That's the $64 million question. All right, we got another caller. I'm not sure of the number here. I can't see it, but I think it's 570-431. 570-431.
Hey, Chris, that's me, man. I got dropped off, but I came back on. I just want to read a question that that Lorenda posted on our Facebook page, Chris. It said,
Lorenda who? Lorenda who?
Come on, you know who Lorenzo is. It's Mo.
Mo, it's just Mo.
Yeah, she posted, and I'll read for you. She said, how is it that you want respect but can't even respect the word of truth, which is God's word, that is? Too many walked around in God complex. You want a man or a woman to give you respect, but you can't even give the Creator respect. That is some serious stuff right there, brother.
Say that last part again. You won't even what?
She said too many of us walking around wanting respect, but we can't even give the Creator respect.
Well, and the answer said not a word on that one.
That is some serious stuff, man. That is some serious, man. You know, and it goes right back again, Chris, to what we've been talking about. You can't demand something that you're not willing to give yourself.
Yep. Double standard.
Yep. And at the end of the day, Chris, everything is tied up again. Everything goes right back into relationship, because if without relationship, we would not be talking about respect, because there would be no need for respect if we're not talking about relationship. Respect only happens when relationship is involved. And having said that, you know, the God is the blueprint for that, for relationship. And so you can't give relationship to your spouse or to your siblings or whomever it may be until you tap into the source and tap into the blueprint and said, okay, show me or teach me how to read this blueprint so I can go build my house, so I can go build a foundation, so I can go build an empire, so I can build an entire city. Because we won't be able to do that until we are able to tap into the blueprint, and as we die, or as we subject ourselves daily to the blueprint, you know, and the blueprint shows us, unpack that and show us what that should look like. Then now I can impart that to my family. Now I can impart that to my sibling. Now I can impart that to my friends that I deal with on a daily basis. And because I am connected to the source, which is the blueprint, respect should not be a factor, because
mm-hmm.
everything
mm-hmm.
falls
mm-hmm.
right in place.
Yep. Yep. I see. Brother Lawson said something that, you know, and he's sharing. Rob, I'm not sure which way you're coming from with this, but I'll share a little bit. I don't know if I'm sharing your business or not. But he said, don't get it twisted now. Women do double standard things too. You know, late night out, weekend getaways, and so on and so forth. So let a brother do that. And he said, see how quickly, you know, fire starts coming out of her nose. Hey, we're not saying clearly. We certainly say yeah. But tonight's show is really for the men. It's man talk. And it's about putting our armor on, putting our pads on, and just saying, look, if we're going to go out and take the field, we know that, that relationships are a contact sport. Not physically contact, but relationships require, you know, for, you know, words I always say, Dr. Parker says, they hard work, but they require work.
Yes,
and,
sir.
And they're worth the work, you know. So we got to be willing to get out on the field and put in our work. And it's a process that we go through. And so tonight's just one of those things that will help you feel comfortable about putting your pads back on. That you're not getting beat down. We're just trying to encourage some brothers to own their truth and to recognize their denial. That's it. If you're in denial, call it for what it is. Let's acknowledge it and let's continue now and move on. We got to pick up our pads because everybody, we need you, fellas. We need you to step up and do what you are called to do. And that is to lead, guide, profess, and protect, in the words of my brother Ed. You know, that's what we must do as men. And so whether we're on the field or off the field, character's not who you are on the field. Characters are who you are off the field when no one's looking at you. That's character.
Mm.
You know, that's it. Mm. So we don't want our character, our kingdom character, to be in question. We want to be the model for our women so that we can set an example that our young daughters will see. To the question that I posed to Bill earlier, you know, if he had a son, a daughter, would it be the same level, you know. So we want to model that thing so that both our daughters as well as our sons can see that. And hopefully one day when it's all said and done, we'll hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's
mm-hmm.
really all about.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, it is 10 o'clock. It is that time. We are bringing this plane down and ready to shut it down for landing. And like I said, this is the final show for this year. It's a bittersweet in a sense. I'm grateful and thankful, but I've got to now turn the page and move on to the next journey. We will reignite again, in the words of Toy Parker. We'll revisit and reignite after the new year. Come back with some new shows and some different guest speakers that we'll bring in. So I'll work diligently after the first of the year to really look at what we can do to tweak the show. So I hope you've gotten something from the shows this week. There are a ton of archives that are posted that are in the group page. That, well, actually, you have to go to the website to see that, the Real Talk with Chris Richardson.com site, realtalkwithchrisrichardson.com. Just go realtalkwithchrisrichardson.com. Go to the website, take a look at the archive page, and you'll see tons of shows that we've done on various topics. Hopefully something that we said tonight that may spark and ignite a flame within you so that you can be making sure that you have a high level of cognition that you're not out there creating the double standard. It's okay for you, but it's not okay for them. That's being a hypocrite. I'm just trying to save you from being a hypocrite. Brother Ed, take us home, man. Any closing thoughts, comments that you want to share?
Listen, man. Respect is something that become foundation that men stand on, and for the brothers that are out there that is listening, man, you know that when respect has been taken away from us, it's like we have nothing left. But let us not be have double standard in that this respect stuff. In the same way we desire or demand respect is the same way we need to give it, regardless of gender. And that's all I'm going to say, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Rob's back. I'm not sure. Rob, did you want to make a comment, take us out or something? I see you lit up again. 646.
Well, I've been here. I'm just listening and taking it all in. I will tell you this. I'll probably be back at 4:10 tomorrow. Ed knows what I'm talking about there. But as far as respect is concerned, I just feel, you know, again, respect starts from the person themselves. You know, if you can't respect yourself and carry yourself in a way that others will respect you, how do you expect to get that respect? You know, if you carry yourself as a slouch, don't expect to be treated as or respected as a king. You know, what you put out, like Ed said earlier, what you put out is what you should expect to receive. So if you don't, are you guys still there, or did you leave us?
Yeah, and that's the part where, you know, we're saying, too, a lot of times, sometimes things are, behavior is one of those things that comes through beliefs and values. As Bill said it, you know,
mm-hmm.
Earlier when he mentioned that. And respect is one of those things, too, that sometimes we want to force respect down someone's throat, but yet we don't really want to give it. And so if I demand it, but I won't give it, you know, and that's a double standard, you know. It's not right because go ahead.
I don't feel as though it's something that's demanded, that should be demanded. I think it should be earned
yeah.
and deserved.
Mm-hmm.
You got to earn it. You
right.
can't walk out and say, hey, I want respect. Respect for what? What have you shown me that I should? I mean, as human beings are supposed to respect each other from the start, but then to earn that next level of respect, like, hey, he's a great man or she's a wonderful woman, there's work and actions that have to be done in order for you to receive that, so to speak, accolade. You just can't walk out in the street and say, hey, I want respect. Well, you're going to get respect because you're a human being, but when it comes to that next level of respect, you've got to earn that. You just can't walk out, like you said, and demand it. You've got to earn that. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, respect is, we know that respect is earned, and it's one of those things that's implied. You know, we respect someone just because of their opinion. We respect someone just for sometimes their position, you know. with that. But again, to your point, you want to go to the next level, and what that really looks like, it's got to be earned. And so all we're just trying to say is that, you know, when it's all said and done, what are you earning? Because a lot of times we're giving something, but what we're giving is not reciprocity to what we're looking to get, you know. And so that's where it comes to where, you know, you're double talking. One minute you're saying this, then you're doing this, it doesn't work. Well, it's okay if it's me, but yeah, I want you to do that. That's a double standard. And that's where we started with the show, with the example, when it came to, you know, dealing with the children, which was something different. So, you know, to each their own. All I'm saying is that what you do is ultimately going to come back to you. You just want to know whether it's the good seed or it's the bad seed. And sometimes you don't choose. You can choose what you do, but you can't choose the consequence for what you do. So, you know, that you don't have say in.
Now the last comment I post, Ed, are you still there?
Yes, brother. Yes, bro.
Okay. All right, cool. I'm pretty sure, I don't know, let me not dig too deep. The last comment I made about don't get it twisted, women have double standards too. I don't know about you guys, but I know in the past, you know, I've been married and divorced now. There's been the girls' night out, the weekend getaways, and this, that, and the other, and I have to sit there and take. But if I turn around and say, hey, the brothers are going to Dominican Republic, or the brothers are going to do this, that, and the other, I get the side eye look if I mentioned, hey, you know what, I want to go with. Like, that's where I'm going with that. Like, it's okay for you to, you know, the ladies' night out and the weekend getaways and this, that, and the other. But if I try to do it, or not try to do it, but if I mention I want to do it now, I got to sit there and deal with this look and this attitude. Well, why is it okay for you to hit the road with the chicks, but I can't hang out with the fellas for a weekend in Cancun or a weekend in Dominican.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it, you know, you feel like I'm going out there to do some dirt. Well, what makes you think I didn't feel the same way while you out there? You know, so that's what
it comes down to. One word, Rob. One word can sum that up, or one word can address where the deficiency is. It begins with a T. Trust.
Mm-hmm.
Trust in it. And then, but now here's the other piece to that. Sometimes a person's past can tell on their future. So if they had some bad experiences, and maybe you haven't been the one who was the beneficiary, you're the beneficiary of it, but you weren't the benefactor of those issues, then that's showing up later. Now, tell the truth, shame the devil, in the event that you have demonstrated that you've breached trust, then that's a whole different show where you have to learn how to rebuild trust before you can get out of jail and get out of, you know, what is it, Monopoly, get out of jail free?
Yeah.
So that's what comes down to, bro. And a lot of times, you know, if she has been, in other words, she's saying, I trust me more than I trust you, And you're saying is like, yo, that ain't right, because if you're going to be with me, you know, then we've got to learn how to find mutual trust towards one another. And you can't create a standard that you're not going to allow me to. You can't inspect something that you're not going to do yourself. That's called being a hypocrite too. You're right.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
it
ain't right. And I get it. Fair is fair. Well, there's some things that there's no equality all the time in relationships, but that's one of those that you've got to say, okay, look, if it's going to work for you, if it's good for you, it's good for me. And so at the end of the day, when it comes down to if she feels as though, no, I'm just going to go and I ain't got to do that, then when you do it, she doesn't need to look surprised, you know?
Okay. Got it.
You know, that's it. Now, I'm not saying doing it is right. I'm saying it's going to take some time, because it sounds like there needs to be some communication there. And it also sounds like if that's coming up and it's come out, there can be some hindering there for some past relationships. As Ed said, they have not divorced from their pain. They're still married to it. And oftentimes that shows up later on. It's acted out on through beliefs and values that are through traumatic situations that have shown up in their life.
Right.
So it just gets replayed. You know, different record, but different decade. Same record,
yes,
different decade.
Yes, sir.
You know. Guys, it's been a real fun treat. It's 10:09. We got to bring this show and then for a landing because I ain't as young as I used to be. So, in fact, I'll be next time y'all hear my voice on air, I'll be 45. So next time I come on in the new year, I will be 45.
God bless you. God bless you both. God bless you both.
You know, so that is it. So we're going to sign out tonight. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for your support. Continue to follow. I'm writing an article right now. I'm going to release that prayerfully by the next week. I'll release it, and it's a question that I'm asking. I'm going to share this with everybody. Is the church on life support? That's my question, and it's an article that I've written.
Wow.
Is the church on life support? So it's a heavy article. It's going to be probably maybe one or two parts, maybe three, because I want to break it down in bite-sized pieces so that everybody can consume it. And all I'm asking you to do, it's a question, so you got to do your own research and due diligence on it, but I'm just going to raise a higher level of cognition on that topic. Is the church on life support? So having said that, just tune into the website next week, realtalkwithchrisrichardson.com. That again is realtalkwithchrisrichardson.com. Go to the blog page, connect with me on social media, and stay connected through Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Fellas, Ed, brother from another mother, Rob, it's been good, man, but I got to shut
man,
the show down. Let's do it.
Be blessed, brother. I look forward to seeing you in a couple of days, man.
Couple days,
all
man.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Hey,
congratulations. Congratulations. I wish
thanks,
you,
Rob.
Wish you and your soon-to-be wife the best, and may God bless you all throughout your journey, man. Look forward to
appreciate
seeing you.
Appreciate you, bro.
On
thanks,
the cruise,
sir.
But I didn't say that. Did you
catch
that?
Right,
good night, man.
All right,
good night.
Take care.
Good night. Bye-bye.